It does. Yeah, sometimes like scientists who are, you know, trying to figure out, you know, atomic structure or trying to figure out how to make a new invention, they just get into it and they just grapple with it. Similarly, as devotees, we're supposed to use every ounce of our intelligence to understand the truths of the Bhagavad. Krishna consciousness is actually for the most intelligent person. And how do you know that you're most intelligent? Not by your university diploma, but by your engagement in devotional service. So these are hot issues for all of us. There's no doubt they're hot issues, aren't they? And these are hot issues that all of us are affected by. These things are going on, aren't they? The potential, and if they're not, the potential is always there, right? So, we have to deal with it. So-and-so's plan, and that way we'll never get off the ground. We'll never get our senses absorbed in devotional service properly. So, it is a fact. If we know we're not doing enough now, certainly whenever any service is presented to us, we can certainly take it as Krishna's trying to engage me. And then that will lead to the next problem, that I'm doing so much, and everybody's asking me to do this and that. How do I know what to do? That's a luxurious problem. But we want to create that problem of doing so much that we have to start analyzing. Could I be better placed by doing this for Krishna or that? That's a great luxury. That's a coveted position. But we all want to get to that coveted position. Otherwise, if you're asking me, I would say there's so much to be done around here. Whether you like to work under somebody's thumb directly or not, so much you can do. No one will object. I like to tell the story about Jai Maharaj, Bhai Maharaj. You know, when he first comes to a temple or a farm, and he's, you know, he's just a kind of a, you know, no one knows you. Oh, Jai Maharaj, welcome, Jai Maharaj. Hi, nice to stop you, nice place to meet. Are you going to get class? Oh, next year. Looking forward to class. Jai Maharaj, every time you walk by, Jai Maharaj. And then you open the Bhagavatam, you open the Gita, start giving a few classes, repeating Krishna's words, you know. Another pasta. So guys, I mean, what do they know about practical life? They knew about their family. They were never born in a family. They know nothing about family life. They know nothing about material life. They never went to school, they never had jobs. Fire boys. Cure devotees from birth. Why don't you trip on us all? One of these guys come out of the clouds, understand the real problems that devotees are going through. Just listen to them talking about sensuality. Yeah, we know what they really want. So after a few classes, you know, the Jai Maharaj is, you know, fade away, and then it's by Maharaj. Maharaj, can we fade away to the next temple? All right, I hit it early on. They're calling for it in Elizabeth, huh? But that is, of course, that is the austerity of renounced order. Faculty speaking, those who plan on.
Aspire to be a servant of the Lord's servant, life after life. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also sings, Tumi Thakura, Toma Kakura, Bolaya Jana Hamore. O my Lord, O Vaishnav, please. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also sings, Tumi Thakura, Toma Kakura, Bolaya Jana Hamore. O my Lord, O Vaishnav, please consider me your dog. One must become the dog of a Vaishnav, a pure devotee, for a pure devotee can deliver Krishna without difficulty. Krishna se toma, Krishna dite pa. Krishna is the property of his pure devotee, and if we take shelter of a pure devotee, he can deliver Krishna very easily. Prahlad wants to engage in the service of a devotee, and therefore he prays to Krishna, my dear Lord, kindly give me the shelter of your very dear devotee, so that I may engage in his service, and you may then be pleased. Mad Bhakta Puja Vyadika, Bhagavatam, 11th Canto. The Lord says, engaging in the service of my devotee is better than trying to engage in my devotional service. Another significant point in this verse is that by devotional service, Prahlad Maharaj does not want to benefit alone. Rather, he prays to the Lord that all of us fallen souls in this material world may, by the grace of the Lord, engage in the service of his servant and thus be delivered. The grace of the Lord is not at all difficult for the Lord to bestow. And thus Prahlad Maharaj wants to save the whole world by spreading Krishna consciousness. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmay Sri Guruve Namaha. Prahlad Maharaj is speaking prayers here, trying to pacify Lord Nrsimhadeva. I'm sure most of you know that Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, they all tried to pacify Lord Nrsimhadeva from his great anger, but they were unsuccessful. Finally, they pushed ahead Prahlad, the young boy, saying that Nrsimhadeva is incarnated just to protect you. Obviously, you're the only one who can satisfy him. So, these are some of the prayers. Srila Prabhupada lectured on these prayers quite often. There were three sections of the Bhagavatam that Prabhupada lectured on the most. Prayers of Prahlad Maharaj, the prayers by Queen Kunti, and the story of Ajamir. Those were his sections of the Bhagavatam that he would speak on the most in his tours around the world. So, anyone who wants to know how to approach Krishna can certainly take shelter of the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj, who always presented himself as the servant of the servant, and always pointed out that to become the humble servant of the Vaishnava is more important than trying to be the direct servant of the Lord. In this verse we're reading today, he is saying that Krishna can manage the affairs of the whole universe. Therefore, what is the difficulty in delivering fallen souls who are engaged in devotional service? He says that Krishna is Artha Bandho, friend of the suffering living entities. Therefore, he says, I think that Krishna will show his causeless mercy to persons who are engaged in his service. So how are we going to get Krishna's mercy? Naturally, that is a concern for all of us, no matter what kind of circumstances we are in. Some of us have families, some of us don't. Some of us are single, some of us would not like to be single. Some of us have families who would like to be single. I know how it goes. In any case, we all need Krishna's mercy. That is why we have come to Krishna consciousness. Now, what does Krishna's mercy come in the form of? You like to talk about Lord Caitanya the golden age, the flood of Krishna prema, love of Godhead. Now, is that just some kind of poetic creation in the mind? The flood of love of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya's mercy, Krishna's mercy. What actually is Krishna's mercy? We don't want to fall into the trap of becoming mundane religionists and thinking that Krishna's mercy is when your sense gratification will go on unimpeded. So many so-called Christians, they have misunderstood Christ's teachings and taken Christianity in that way. Turn God into the great baker. Give us our daily bread. Give us sense gratification without disturbance. That is not possible, to have sense gratification without disturbance. Yet, people, if they turn to God, they want to turn to God for material benefit. Please give me a nice this. Please give me a nice that. I want a nice house. I want a good wife. I want a good husband. I want obedient kids. I want some wealth. I want comfort. I don't want any disease. I don't want any premature deaths in my family. Everything should go on nice, and that's why I'm worshiping God. And of course, these things don't happen in this world. This world is the place of premature death. It is a place of unexpected illness. It is a place of upheaval, turmoil. Especially in this day and age, there is such great uncertainty, economic uncertainty. Will they keep the dole, or will a new government come into power and take the dole away? So much uncertainty in personal relationships. Will my partner stay with me, or will he or she not? Do I have to start looking for another partner now in advance, just in case the partner I have leaves me? What about my children? What can I really tell them about growing up in this world? After all, can I really tell them not to engage in sense gratification? I want sense gratification. How can I tell them not to do it? Oh, what to do? I guess if I don't see them doing it, then it's okay. On and on and on, the uncertainty piles up, piles up, piles up. So, it would seem logical that we should worship God to become free from material distress. But Krishna consciousness is offering something inconceivably far beyond that. In the second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, it is stated, Dharma Projita Kaitavotra. All kinds of Kaitava Dharma, cheating religion, are swept out of the Bhagavatam. Just like you take a broom, sweep things out of the room. Similarly, all religion motivated by material benefit is banned from Srimad Bhagavatam. So what is it that Srimad Bhagavatam is speaking of? How to serve Krishna simply for Krishna's pleasure. Now, automatically we may flinch. What about me? But we are part of Krishna. If we serve Krishna, naturally we'll be included. But the benefit that we will get by serving Krishna cannot be analyzed by our material senses. Even when a devotee externally appears to be in distress, he can be receiving great internal mercy from the Lord. I'm sure you've heard the example of when a cat carries its kitten in the mouth, it is a far different experience from when the cat carries a rat in its mouth. From the external point of view, both look the same. The cat has these creatures in its mouth. So, an unintelligent person will think, oh, there's no difference. Both creatures are suffering so much. But if you understand the internal experience of what's going on, you know that the kitten is feeling protected in the mouth of its mother, whereas the rat is feeling death. So we have to learn how to see properly. This is one of our great problems in trying to remain steady in devotional service. We like to rely on our ordinary vision. Just like last night we were speaking about the different kinds of happiness in the modes of nature, the different kinds of conceptions that the living entity has about what feels good, what is happy. And it's obvious that if we simply rely on what we can see with our ordinary senses, there's no way we're going to stay out of sense gratification. Because to the ordinary vision, sense gratification looks so good. And even though, if you think about it with your logical intelligence, you can see nothing but distress that it causes, nothing but distress that has caused so many other people, still, when you're right up against it, it blinds you. Whatever little intelligence you have in the age of color, it becomes totally blind and you just see, yes, this is it. We've only just begun to live. Yes. Now is the magic moment. Let it unfold. You just totally abandon whatever little intelligence you have and you go for it. And of course, later you lament. But then the same situation arises again. It appears before your eyes, so inviting, promising fulfillment, satisfaction, soothing of your weary soul. And once again, you let the senses run wild. And once again, you lament, it was just the same thing anyway. Why did I do that? Then, again and again and again, we obviously, if we're going to be successful in controlling our senses to please Krishna, we have to not be fooled by the appearance of things. Also, we cannot be fooled by the appearance of devotional service. It looks very difficult. It looks intimidating in that you have to humble yourself. It looks very inconvenient that I have to go out of my way to serve Krishna. I, who have my own set of senses, my own mind, have to push myself to engage in devotional service. Is that really what life is about? It doesn't look that way to me. It takes some effort to serve Krishna, whereas it seems that to serve my senses is so easy. It doesn't take any effort. Actually, Prahlad Maharaj says the opposite. Earlier in this canto, Prahlad Maharaj explains that going to hell requires great endeavor. You must work very hard to go to hell. You need money. And to get money, you have to work or commit crimes. And then with the money, you have to arrange so many circumstances. And then finally, you can try to enjoy. The whole complicated maze or network of modern civilization is simply a great endeavor how to go to hell. And you have to work at it. There has to be anxiety in the mind, strain for the body. All because we want to enjoy illegally. We need money, we need circumstances, we need homes and cars and bank balances and on it goes. But Prahlad Maharaj says, serving Krishna is very easy. The relationship between the devotee and Krishna is as natural as the relationship appears between child and parent. Those who are parents, you know, it's natural if a child depends on you. Says, mummy. It's natural. The child is nourished by you when it's an infant. The child is protected by you, raised by you. It's natural. No mother here would deny the natural relationship that she has with her children. But when it comes to Krishna, then we get a little edgy. I don't know if it's all that natural. I mean, you know, okay, I can understand worshiping Krishna so your life isn't that distressful. I can understand worshiping Krishna because, you know, you want him off your case. You don't want to be bugged too much by devotional service. But worshiping Krishna simply because you want service, I don't know if that's really natural. But it is. Prahlad Maharaj says, don't be fooled by appearances. By appearances, Maya looks very easy and Krishna looks very difficult. So he's trying to give you some confidence in your beloved Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's amazing how we are chanting Krishna's name, we're taking food that has been offered to the Lord, we're reading books about Krishna, yet we don't have so much confidence in Krishna. We get a little edgy. Don't get too close to Krishna. Of course, we don't say it like that. We know we're devotees. So we're always urging everyone, Krishna, Krishna. But Krishna comes to us in two ways that we love to ignore: the holy name and devotional service. We don't like paying attention to the holy name, even if we do chant. And of course, sometimes we don't chant. Why? You understand. You know, the world gets complicated. You've got to, you know, push on your activities in this world, and it's natural. I mean, all my friends, sometimes they don't chant, you know, all the time. So you can understand. I don't chant all the time. You know, it's just the way it is. So we turn away from Krishna in that way, either not chanting our full round that we promised, or else we like to physically mumble our rounds and not pay attention. You know, we like to sleep while we chant, or talk while we chant, or fidget while we chant. You just don't want to deal with Krishna directly at this holy name. It just takes too much out of us. We have so many important things to think about, and so many important things to do. The whole world is calling us Hare Krishnas, but we don't like the Krishna mantra. But we like it when they call us Hare Krishnas. Yes, just chant the holy name. You should chant. Then when it comes time for us to chant, well, I'll get this out of the way as soon as possible. And what is the other way that Krishna comes in which we like to ignore? Devotional service. As we were saying yesterday in class, devotee means devotional service. Devotee doesn't simply mean you've got the most unique neck beads around your neck. Devotee doesn't mean that you can walk the walk and talk the talk. Hari Bol Prabhu. How's it going? Where's Prabhupada? Devotee means your senses and mind are engaged in devotional service. So if our efforts to be servants of Srila Prabhupada and servants of his servants is going to be successful, we need to revive our hunger for devotional service and the holy name. And that can be done by any devotee, whether you're married or not, or have a family or not, whether you live in the temple or live in your own home. It is the job of every single devotee to perform devotional service. And the more that you are keen for service and the holy name, the more you'll understand Krishna. And the less we are keen for the holy name and devotional service, the less we'll understand about Krishna, and the more we'll be subject to being washed away by Maya. So Prahlad is trying to give you confidence in Krishna. You're calling yourself a devotee. Now, don't you trust Krishna? Don't you understand that through devotional service, all perfection will come to you? Why are we so averse to devotional service? We don't want to become card-carrying members of a religion. We don't want to become lip service Hare Krishna followers. We want to be, show that we practice devotional service for the pleasure of Krishna. We don't want to have a fear of Krishna. Can't get too close to Krishna. Can't go to too many programs. Can't chant too much because then you might get overwhelmed. You'll over-endeavor. Have we seen any real problems that come from people chanting too much? Have we seen problems from people doing too much service? Not really. If you endeavor in devotional service according to Prabhupada's instructions, how can you over-endeavor? Of course, on the other hand, we see so much over-endeavor going on in terms of one's own sense gratification. I don't think we need to worry about over-endeavor in devotional service. It's a very rare case in which somebody is doing too much service. That's a very rare case, so that they don't take care of their body, they don't sleep enough, they don't eat enough. Let us concentrate on those examples when they come. That's a great privilege. Did you hear? Someone is doing too much service. That's a fortunate problem. But we all know the problem is the other thing. I just don't have time for service. I've got so many things to do, so many plans. Anyway, I don't like the person who's organizing the service. That's the reason why I can't do devotional service. We come up with so many excuses. I will do it in the future. But Prabhupada's movement is a practical mechanism for engaging in service now. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, only by devotional service can I be understood. Krishna doesn't say, only when the service is done according to your calculations, then I'll be understood. Only when everybody involved in the service are devotees you like, then I'll be understood. No, Krishna says, only by devotional service. So, we have to be intelligent. We look at the situation and see, is there service? I need service. And we organize our lives to do it. So, Prahlad is giving us confidence here. Krishna, you are the friend of suffering humanity. And therefore, I know you will show your mercy on those who engage in devotional service. So we need a lust for devotional service. Lust is used in the service of the Lord. That is what Narottam Das Thakur says. Kam Krishna Kamarpane. It's not that we're eradicating lust. We're all for lust. But real lust is the urge to engage everything in Krishna's service. We're not trying to become dull rocks, sterile and inert. We want to be active and dynamic. That means also being lusty for Krishna. This is for Krishna. That is for Krishna. I am for Krishna. Everything is for Krishna. Day after day after day after day like this. Not thinking how to avoid Krishna, how to avoid devotional service. Of course, to do this requires humility, because the way this material world is arranged, devotional service will never look completely to your material liking. You'll always find something that's wrong, why you shouldn't do the service. I don't like the Prabhu who's doing it also. I don't like the Prabhu who organized the service. I don't like the circumstances. I don't like the way it's managed. I don't like the way it's run. I don't like the where it's at. On it goes. But if we just humble ourselves to the fact that this is not a perfect world, yet Krishna has so kindly given me service, let me engage in service, and I'm sure I will get the intelligence how to serve Krishna better. If things need to be improved, how do you get the intelligence how to improve them? By engaging in devotional service. Humility is very important if we plan on going back to Godhead. Perhaps you remember in the Chaitanya Charitamrita how Rupa and Sanatan Goswami approached Lord Chaitanya. They fell at his feet with straw in their mouth and they prayed. Our dear Lord, you are famous throughout the universe as the deliverer of the most fallen. If you don't deliver us, you won't find anyone more suitable for your mercy. Indeed, if you want your reputation to be intact as deliverer of the most fallen, you certainly should deliver us. Then your reputation will be bona fide, because you won't find anyone worse than us. And if you don't deliver us, then there's no hope for us. So Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, they're actually eternal associates of the Lord, but they're showing us how to approach Krishna as beggars. Patita Pavana Hetu Tava Avatar. Your appearance, Lord Chaitanya, is for the purpose of delivering the worst. So, amongst ourselves here, we all know we are the worst. Some of the things we have done before becoming devotees, we don't want to repeat. That's the same thing that Rupa and Sanatan Goswami said. They said, when we think about our simple activities, we are horrified, and we don't even want to utter them. We become so ashamed. So it is like that with us. The things we have done with our senses and minds are so abominable. Yet, we are allowed to serve Krishna. And if we don't serve Krishna, What is the use of calling ourselves devotees? Of course, how that service goes on, according to our lifestyle, that's another thing. As we were saying yesterday, a single devotee's approach to devotional service is different than a married devotee's approach. Nevertheless, everybody is involved in devotional service. So Prahlad is confident, Krishna, you are the friend. So we have to ask ourselves, do I really believe Krishna is the friend? Or is Krishna simply inconveniencing me by always sticking all these opportunities for service under my nose? 1 minute it's this, it's books, then it's collecting, then it's deity worship, then it's farming, then it's the centennial, then it's this, on and on it goes. When will it ever stop? First they want this, then they want that. Sooner or later, we find ourselves taking the attitude of the materialists who are always complaining, you Hare Krishnas are everywhere, always asking for something. So somehow or other, we don't want to take that attitude. Krishna, you're always asking for something. But we do it very cleverly sometimes. Well, Krishna's all right, but these devotees who are running things, whether it's the temple president or this or that, or even the temple commander, or anybody, they're always asking for things. They always want devotees to do something. In this way, we cheat ourselves out of devotional service. Of course, just like on this farm here, you can see so much opportunity for service, whether you want to work directly under somebody's thumb, or you want to have your own project. So much opportunity for service. So what is the reason why we don't do it? Now we know. There's so much to do, especially in this year approaching the centennial. Certainly, if we're calling ourselves followers of Prabhupada, we want to make an extra effort how to make some sacrifice. Otherwise, we wind up being a bunch of official religionists. I believe in Krishna. Who do you believe in? Krishna consciousness is not a question of belief. It is a question of devotional service. What am I doing with my senses and my mind? The more we absorb ourselves in devotional service, the more happy we are, without even thinking about our own happiness. This is very amazing, and this is something that takes a while for us to get used to. How can I be happy without worrying about my own happiness? For years, I've spent always struggling to make myself happy, to arrange things for me. For years, I've done like that. It's got to be just like this. I know. I'm the expert about me. I know what pleases me. And we're hoping, of course, that others will learn that art, too, of how to please me. Oh, how fortunate you are. You're understanding how to please me. You must be my long-lost partner. You are thinking how to please me. Please become more expert in this art. I give you full permission. We're very happy then. I'm pleasing myself, and others are also thinking how to please me. Oh, what a great life. Krishna consciousness means I simply try to please Krishna and don't worry about my own happiness. And this gets a little revolutionary for us. It just doesn't seem to make sense. The appearances of this idea seem very revolting. How can you be happy by not worrying about your own happiness? Just doesn't make sense. And materially it doesn't. Yet, we are not materialists. Prabhupada has given us the gift of being real spiritualists. Always thinking how to make Krishna happy. And then automatically you're taken care of. Just like the gopis in Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya will always say, Ramya Kachchita Pasma, Vrajabadu Vargani Yakalpita. There are no higher devotees than the gopis. No better way of serving Krishna than the gopis in Vrindavan. And what was the essence of their attitude? They simply sacrificed everything for Krishna without even thinking of their own happiness. Yet, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you'll read the great paradox. Although the gopis serve Krishna without ever thinking of their own pleasure, Krishna forced displeasure on them. This is what happens in devotional service. You just go along doing everything necessary to try to give some pleasure to Krishna. Sometimes it looks like you're successful and sometimes not. That's true. Sometimes your devotional service looks like it's not successful to ordinary vision. Just like, for example, I've heard, you know, probably not completely right, but it's a good example. Sometimes it was said that getting this farm here was a mistake. Why was it done? Who can say? The point is, though, now we see it is a real farm with real farming opportunities. There needs to be a real farm somewhere in the country. And now you have, I've been told, 250 acres which can raise food. Do you know what the future will bring? We're not doomsday people. We're not absorbed in thinking, oh, there'll be a calamity very soon. The whole east coast of Australia will be washed into the sea. There'll be earthquakes, there'll be tidal waves, there'll be nuclear war. I mean, there's always disasters in this material world. Just having a material body is a disaster. So that's not our consciousness. But we know Prabhupada wanted farms. He wanted devotees to learn how to raise food. And whether they're disasters or not, we have to do that to please Prabhupada. So now you have some land that can actually grow food. Krishna is so kind, he has provided nice housing facilities. Everyone can easily get a cheap house in the village. They can have their own house. Nobody bugs you. And at the same time, just a stone's throw away is piles and piles of devotional service, ready for you to stick your hands into. So what more did you want? So maybe some people say, oh, why did they get this place? Who knows how Krishna is doing things? It's true. There very well can be great disasters in the future, and the devotees need a place where they can flee the cities and live self-sufficiently. Who can say what the future will bring? All we know is we're trying to serve Krishna with our all in all. That's all that can be expected of you. You're not expected to read a crystal ball. You can't do that. You just engage in devotional service according to your best capacity, with your best intelligence. And sometimes things will work out according to your conception, and sometimes not. Good luck, bad luck, who knows? There's a story about a man in a farming village, and his son was mowing some hay, and the son broke his leg, and so the farmer was all lamenting, oh, what am I going to do about the harvest? My son has broken his leg. What bad luck. Oh, what bad luck. Then, the next day, the military recruiters came to the farming village looking for able-bodied young men to send off to the war. And they did not take the farmer's son. Why? Because he had a broken leg. Then the farmer was saying, oh, what good luck, what good luck, what good luck. So that, on and on it goes like that. Good luck, bad luck, who knows? All we know is we have to serve Krishna according to the best of our capacity. So certainly, whether there are disasters in the future or not, anyway, material life is a disaster. We need a place where we can please Prabhupada. And what gave Prabhupada pleasure? Farms that grew food. That's what he wanted. His idea, and we should be concerned with Prabhupada's idea, was that householders would learn how to grow food and in that way take care of their families. Prabhupada was always criticizing the artificially complicated economy of today. So his idea was that for those families, for those persons who felt they couldn't handle the austerities of urban preaching, then they could drop down to the next level of austerity. And what is that? To live very simply with their own house and grow food. Of course, sometimes we get so confused, we think, oh, that's too austere. But in Prabhupada's eyes, That was the thing to do if you don't want to be austere. Now, if you mention to some of our devotees, live simply, learn how to raise your own food. Oh, too austere. But Prabhupada had two categories, which I like to call the preaching category or the producing category. One or the other. You either preach or you produce. His conception was that if you can't make it in the urban preaching scene, you know, the fire brigade life in the temple, some people, they can't handle it. It looks too intimidating to them. It looks too exhausting. They don't see the ecstasy in it. They don't see the joy in being a humble servant. Whenever the fire bell rings, everyone races. Where's the service? What am I supposed to do now? Some people, they just can't see themselves in that as of yet. So, Prabhupada said, all right, then you can go down to the next level. You live a very simple life on some land, and you raise food. So to raise food takes some knowledge and a lot of work. And sometimes it seems that the one thing we Hare Krishna devotees don't like is hard work. Living in the cities, collecting funds, distributing books, preaching is hard work. And similarly, farm work is hard work. But Prabhupada's idea is that we should be doing hard work one way or the other. Because if we're not working hard to serve Krishna, we know what we'll be doing. No need to say. So we should be very thankful that Krishna has given us an opportunity for devotional service. I know when I was preaching in Eastern Europe in the communist days, if you could see the anxiety devotees had to go through just to get some devotional service and do it, you would never become familiar with devotional service. You'd always be so happy to have a chance. Devotees being persecuted just for a few devotees coming together and trying to chant Hare Krishna. So we're so fortunate, regardless of the degradation of the society around us, we're being allowed to chant Hare Krishna and teach others how to chant Hare Krishna. So once again, let us understand that Krishna is our friend by giving us these service opportunities. Don't make friends with Maya. Maya seems very inviting. Prabhupada once described Maya saying, like, my dear child, just lay your head on my lap and go to sleep. And you do that, and she cuts your head off. Those of you who are mothers, you can think like that. Sometimes your children, they like to put their little head on your lap and go to sleep. But you would never think of cutting their head off. But that's what the material energy does. And we are so trusting. Oh yes, I will have my own little world, free from being harassed by other devotees. I will have my own world in which everything will go my way. And when I want to, I can utter a few mantras. When I want to, I can bring a few flowers to the temple. When I want to, when I want to, when I want to. We don't want to make friends with the propositions of Maya. Never mind how it looks, and it is a fact, we all will admit, we all can agree, Maya looks good to the ordinary vision. It does look good. That's what gets us into trouble. We hear the philosophy all the time, but yet it still, it looks so good. Why does it look good? Because Maya is Krishna's energy. Therefore, there is a thin covering of attractiveness on the whole ghastly situation of illusory energy, because it's coming from Krishna. So devotional service means not to be fooled by the false attractiveness of Maya, but to be absorbed in the eternal beauty of Krishna. So the way it works is that Maya looks good and devotional service looks uninviting. That's life in this material world. We can practically hear ourselves telling ourselves subconsciously, do you really want devotional service? There's a lot of talk about devotional service going on here. Let's go away. Time to leave now. They're talking about devotional service. Anyway, the person in charge is a creep, so that makes it all logical. Well, the person in charge is okay, but the other prabhus who are doing the service, they just don't know what they're doing anyway. Okay, away I go. we need to help one another reawaken our love of devotional service. And that's the greatest offering we can give to Prabhupada for the centennial. Here, things are so fortunate. You have unlimited land for farming. Satisfying Prabhupada's desire. Prabhupada was in anxiety about how his householders would live. It wasn't that he neglected householders. He was in transcendental anxiety. What are these families going to do? Are they going to be sucked up into urban life and lost? Or is there some simpler way they can live that's practical and at the same time good for their Krishna consciousness? Therefore, his second alternative, if you didn't want to preach in the city, live on the land, okay, have your house, grow food. We have to understand the importance of growing food. It's a honorable endeavor for householders, and it's a way that you'll stay out of material complications. Well,